I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 34 going to the 50s today? Come on! Summer's here!
Yes, I'm going.
Hello, people. 611, Steve Cochran. Show number 1129. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, at Cochran Show, on Twitter, 312-981-7200. Text question today actually comes from Twitter. Twitter blowed up real good with this question. What's something your family did that you always thought was normal that wasn't? Turns out you were wrong. It's funny. The answers are fairly brilliant. What's this pajama thing, Sandberg, with you and your family? Can you tell that on here?
Yes. We never eat dinner until everyone's in their pajamas.
Really?
Everyone would get... Don't act like that's normal because you're afraid of Sandberg.
Wait, no, no. She's talking as a kid, though.
Yes, but I do it now.
But your parents would get in the pajamas.
Yeah. I mean, lounge clothes, you know, like... Because my parents actually didn't sleep in pajamas, but that's a whole nother weird separate thing.
Okay. Wait, I want to focus on that one.
But
when a mommy and daddy love each other very much, they wrestle.
That's my parents' version of we need to be relaxed, and you know it wasn't a. Yeah. You got to be ready.
So when did you find out that that everyone didn't eat in their pajamas?
When I started going to other friends' houses, and then also along those lines, we didn't get takeout a ton, but if we did get takeout, we were never allowed to eat it right away. My dad would put the oven on a low temp and just put the bag or the pizza box, and we always got french fries, you know, and the french fries in the oven, and everyone had to, my mom would wash her face, you know, change into pajamas.
So you guys are starving, crazy.
They would
for
fix
food.
The cocktail.
I was
and then
say that it was cocktail hour. I knew it.
Yep,
I knew
a
that
cocktail.
Was
and then on a plate, like even if we got it from the hot dog stand, you'd get a glass plate with your hot dog and your french fries on it like an hour and 20 minutes after it came home, which is never the most optimal time to eat.
As the kids are going, are we going to eat?
What time are these dinners?
Eight-ish. And my other friends would spend the night, they were like, are we ever going to eat? The Sandbergs eat so late.
Like, it's unhealthy eating that late.
Well, not when you had, Mary, not when you had the cocktails.
When
you had the cocktails in, that helps.
Right, right.
Did you at least get to eat the olives out of the cocktails?
I did.
There you go.
You did. I've always eaten my dad's. He's a martini. He likes the blue cheese stuffed olives, and I've always I used to say I like to suck the vermouth out of them. Which I don't even know.
Well, here's a story for you. When I was a little kid, I went to my cousin's house, and my parents had separate beds. You know, the entire time that I was alive,
were they wearing pajamas or not?
Depended on the night. But I've said this before. They were married 45 years. They should have been married 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
So they had separate beds. So I went to my cousin's house and I noticed that in the parents' bedroom they had one bed. And I remember going to him and going, "I'm sorry, you're poor."
Oh,
because I thought they couldn't afford a second bed.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Well, years ago, my grandparents both had separate beds. My parents did not, but both sets of my grandparents, they had separate bedrooms.
Well, I think there's a lot of that goes on now. There's people, you know, it's more snoring related, but there's a lot of people that go, I'll be in the other bedroom, let me know if you need me.
Robin Laura Petri beds, I call them.
People should text, though.
Yeah, that's the text question. What's something you always thought was normal with your family, and it turns out your family's nuts? Mm. Let's do the top six.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, we got somebody new in the mayor's race. Dorothy Brown's decided to run for mayor. And despite federal corruption investigations and a whole lot of...
Well, stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yesterday, Jamal Green threw his hat into the ring.
That's the Black Lives Matter guy?
Yes, and Dorothy Brown today, which this is really surprising. It's even surprising to some of the Democratic caucus because of the, you just said, the federal investigation, that it's just, she's never been convicted. She's never pleaded guilty at anything.
Right.
But just the scheme after scheme, it just kind of hangs over her head. The party actually abandoned her in 2016. They didn't.
Are they going to be giving out like campaign baggage, you know, as a tchotchke for people that want to vote for?
I think that the candidates have their own. I think they're bringing
lots of baggage. Lots. Next, Rudy Giuliani, former New York City mayor, is joining President Trump's legal team. This is an interesting turn now because Rudy Giuliani was, of course, mayor of New York City on 9/11. And Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI. Mm-hmm. So they work very closely together. Giuliani knows Mueller. Mueller knows Giuliani. Giuliani wants to bring this investigation to a close as quickly as possible. There's no question that Mueller and Giuliani have mutual respect for each other. The question is, does this change the course of the investigation at all? I doubt it, because it seems that Mueller has weathered the storm so far. So why would pressure from Giuliani change things? And by the way, we don't know that Giuliani is going to pressure Mueller. We just know that he's going to try to negotiate an end to it and represent the president and therefore the president's interests in that. A related story to that, the former FBI director James Comey's memos were released last night. For those of you forgotten the storyline, the memos were the things, the copious notes that he put together after every meeting with Donald Trump. And those were released in redacted form, and CNN got a hold of them first. And those memos indicate a lot of things, among which that the president was not so much a fan of Michael Flynn, and he sort of creeped him out. But there's also a take on those memos, which is drastically different. The president's feeling about the memos and the rest of the world's feeling about the memos, kind of on different sides. But I want to read a tweet from the president of the United States to you. This is from last night. And just see what kind of vibe you get from it. There's a lot of tweets from this morning as well. Okay, this is from last night, President. James Comey memos just out show clearly there was no collusion, no obstruction. Also, he leaked classified information. Wow, will the witch hunt continue? It sounds like a TV promo.
Right.
I tweeted out this morning, porn stars, Russian thugs, feds. All in the next episode of Witch Hunt. Will the witch hunt continue? Everything's a TV show.
And then on Canon.
Right. That's all a Quinn Martin production. Next. $1 billion. That is the fine federal regulators are expected to impose today on Wells Fargo Bank, accused of selling unnecessary products to customers for years. And they did that cute thing where they set up fake accounts for people.
Oh.
And didn't tell you. Adorable. Next. Speaking of the mayor's office, Rahm Emanuel called on President Donald Trump and said, show me the money. There was a court ruling, a panel of federal judges, that said funds cannot be withheld from so-called sanctuary cities. There is a fair amount of money that's owed to Chicago, and the mayor would like it. Next. Here's a product you never thought you needed. Mayo Chup.
Ugh.
Mayo Chup. You know what Mayo Chup is?
Yeah, it's ketchup and mayonnaise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two of my least favorite things ever.
Do you remember when peanut butter and jelly was in the same bottle?
Yeah.
Was that a Goober product?
I think so.
Did it make you say Goober when you ate it? If you wanted to see Mayo Chup, a premixed mayonnaise ketchup product made by Kraft Heinz, you're clearly not alone. Company based in Pittsburgh, as well as here, asked Twitter users last week if they should bring the hybrid condiment to America. The response was overwhelming. Almost 1 million people voted in the survey. 55% said yes, Mayo Chup.
Would anybody eat this
coming
here?
Yeah,
well, actually,
it's,
you know,
disgusting.
People do eat this in the East Coast and places of the East Coast. It's called fry sauce already. People have been dunking their fries in this for a long time.
Well, I grew up on the East Coast. I've never heard of it.
Fry sauce.
I never heard of it. In France, they serve mayonnaise with your fries. Instead of a cup of ketchup, you get a cup of mayonnaise.
Yeah, but you were in D.C., Dave.
Yeah.
They didn't have this in D.C.
Well, not that I knew of.
I was in New York. They didn't have this in New York.
I love ketchup.
Annabella Valls.
What's ketchup?
Ketchup and mayo.
Oh, that's totally.
Annabella Val says it's very busy. It's very big in Puerto Rico. The Mayo Chup.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make it right. And the White Sox traded Tyler Saladino to the Brewers. What'd they get in exchange, Dan?
Cash considerations
and a soda machine.
No, no soda machine that I know of. And they also acquired Trace Thompson from Oakland.
Is he good?
For cash.
Do we like him?
Well, he started with the White Sox.
I don't need his. I mean, listen, don't tell me his life story. Is he good or isn't he good?
Well, he hasn't had a lot
like
of success
him or don't you
lately.
Like him?
I mean, he's a good guy to have on the bench.
Is he a bad person?
He's not a bad person.
Is he the one who went to the Dodgers?
He went. He was traded by the Sox to the Dodgers at a three-team deal. The Sox ended up with Todd Frazier.
And a soda machine. Lou Manfredini coming up in just a second. Number to call is 312-981-7200. First call. Well, we should have gotten a soda machine. First caller is next for Lou.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
It's Lou Manfredini. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let's talk about a wonderful thing you do every year and throughout the year. Who are you supporting?
Oh, you're so nice. This next weekend is Misericordia Candy Days, where there'll be hundreds of volunteers throughout the neighborhoods of Chicago and Chicagoland collecting money. And we created this virtual candy jar. If you go to WGNradio.com, you can donate to, you know how John Williams does the virtual kettle around Christmas time with the Salvation Army?
Yep.
I stole his idea because, you know, there's no original ideas. And we have a candy jar that you can donate. There's a giving page there, and Townstone Financial has generously said that they would match a $5,000 donation if we get to $5,000.
Wow.
So everybody's, you know, $2, $5.
It all adds up, kids.
It all adds up. Dave Bennett's $500 donation, that's $1,000. Right?
Yep. That's from all the buckthorn he sells.
Right.
That's right. Sales are good.
So Dave Bennett has been so kind running. You've heard promos where Dave has helped promote Candy Days and volunteers. So it's a really terrific event. It's one of their biggest fundraisers to keep their campus thriving, where 600 children and adults with developmental disabilities live and thrive and have
And that's
purpose.
An expensive proposition and a wonderful organization. They need your
it
money.
Really
we
is.
Hope you'll help.
Mm-hmm. WGNradio.com and then go to the search button and just type in candy jar, and it'll come up there. Any donation is welcome and so appreciated by the staff, the volunteers, and those that live and participate at Misericordia.
I like how you stole John's idea and then slammed the idea. You stole the idea, and then you go, well, there's no original ideas. Well, I guess it was original from him until you stole it.
From him, right, exactly. No, okay. I stole it. It was his original. I stole it.
Mark's in Bolingbrook. Mark, what's your question?
Hey, I've got an asphalt driveway that's got some cracks
Watch
in it.
Your mouth.
I know. Sorry about that. Okay. What would be a better crack filler for that, the elastomeric or the acrylic?
Actually, Blackjack, which is the manufacturer's name, makes a blend. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. The trick when you're doing any kind of cracks, if they're...
That sounds good. Will it last?
If they're wider, make sure that you take like some kind of screwdriver or something to get any loose material out of there that you can. And if they're deeper than, say, 3/4 of an inch, if you can get some caulking rope, which looks like foam spaghetti, and jam that in there so that you're only applying about 3/8 of an inch of material on the crack, that will be helpful. Then when you get done with that and it settles, you can go ahead and put their Blackjack resurfacer over the top of that to get it all blending in and looking nice.
Remember, it's crack filler by Blackjack. Andrea?
Lou's first call is sponsored by our friends at American Weathermakers. We thank them for that.
And Mark, you've won one of these fancy schmancy thermostats from American Weathermakers. It's got your Wi-Fi and your Bluetooth and your green tooth and all sorts of things connected to it. You can make
awesome.
It go higher or lower or stay the same or
Can you say play WGN radio on it?
Yeah,
that
you
would
could
be something.
You could reset the temperature of the sun, Mark. That's how technological it sounds.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, hold the line if you would. All right, so here we are, first weekend of spring where it's actually going to be 50s to 60s during the day. Is it lawn weekend yet or not?
This ladies and gentlemen, is lawn weekend.
There you go.
So this is, you know, the temperatures, I actually did a little temperature probe in the lawn to see. I've talked a lot about the soil temperature for doing grass seed and whatnot. This is the weekend to go out and do it and get it started. And I think you're going to start seeing results in greening up. Problem is, it's been so wet. When you go to rake, the lawn's going to get kind of muddy. So that's a great time to throw down some additional seed over the top of that. And you just want to make sure that you cover that seed so you don't create bird food.
Right, right, right. Dave, let's go to Dave for a live bird update. Are the birds still attacking your windows?
The birds, as of this morning, my wife is reporting there are no birds on our downstairs windows.
Okay.
However, I took Lou's advice, created some distractions for the birds on the windows. Did have a bird on one of our upstairs windows this morning, knocking on it. But I'm going to go up on the ladder tomorrow.
Dave, it's time to go to work. Wake up, Dave. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, these birds are they're like, they're ramming themselves into these windows, right. And they're persistent. They don't
because
stop.
They see the reflection of themselves, and they think it's another bird, right. And they want to attack the other bird.
Right.
And they're crazy. Yeah. Remember, like, bird crazy? That's what it is.
But bird brand.
We've lived in this house for 24 years.
This is the first time you've been haunted?
This has never happened. And nobody else on my block is having this problem.
Now, Lou gave you all the reflective tape ideas.
Yes.
Have you thought about standing in the window and doing this? Just all day long.
I do that anyway after what I leave here.
It's just a thought.
Right.
Hey, Lou, a Cochrane
uncontrollably.
Kitchen. Cochrane Kitchen countertop update, all with K's, by the way. The fine people at Cobblestone. Countertops are in. Countertops are in. So
That's a momentous part of a kitchen where you're like, now you're, it's all coming together.
Yeah.
Now
by the way, we just got the countertops. No cabinets, so just the countertops.
Now you get to order pizza and eat it standing up at the countertop.
Countertops,
right, exactly. Perfect.
Cobblestone. Great job by the Cobblestone people.
That's
in our
awesome. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, man.
Love you.
Love you. See you. That's Lou Manfredini. He'll be on the radio tomorrow morning, and we'll be back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Purple Rain.
.643 Prince news this week. No charges filed in his death. If you love Prince like I love Prince, I hope you had an opportunity to see him do this live once in your lifetime. His opportunities are slim and none now. It's great. It's just so great. Text question of the day again is, what's something your family did that you thought was normal and then you found out it wasn't? 847, we'd rinse out milk jugs, hang them up to dry, take them to family reunion so grandma could use them for moonshine. We thought everybody did it.
Oh.
Texters, 312-981-7200. Arsenio Hall was on the show yesterday. He's doing stand-up again, and Arsenio is this weekend going to be at the Rosemont Zanies. And I understand there's some tickets available, but obviously not many. It's Arsenio Hall. Talked to him yesterday, as I said, and I said, stand up. You loving a stand up?
I get to talk about stuff on stage, and the people I talk about, I know them. I know Hillary. I know Donald Trump. I was on Celebrity Apprentice. I won Celebrity Apprentice,
right.
Steve.
You know, so
I spent a lot of time with him. When I had to choose between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, that's like asking me who my favorite Menendez brother is, okay? I know them both. I'm a Republican. Neither was my choice.
That's
fantastic. Hello, Andrea. I don't want to ignore Andrea. Hey, Andrea.
Arsenio, you're the best. I love you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're laughing about the Menendezes because I'm going Eric.
Yeah. Oh, you would have gone Eric? Yeah, you would have gone
just
Eric.
Just for Arsenio's sake. Just for the sake of the combo.
Because Andrea doesn't like toupees, so she's going to go with
him. Well, she's working with
that.
She's working with a bald guy. Here's the deal. You can get up close to Arsenio like never before if you go to Zanies and Rosemont. It's my favorite Zanies room, Rosemont room. You're going to love it. 8 o'clock, 10
right
and 10:30 Friday night, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday night. It's all part of the Return to Stand-Up Tour. Did you miss it? Did you feel like I got to get out there and do it again?
Oh, yeah. You know, especially black men don't go to therapy, so we need some outlet where we can talk to people. So black men go to the barbershop and talk, or you have to do stand-up, one of the two. So I'm happy to be doing it again. And I was talking to your producer. She was telling me I should have flown in, and I wanted to let you know, you know I'd love to be there with you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
no.
You know what I'm doing today? This is so much fun, Steve. I got to tell you what I'm doing.
Okay, go ahead, man.
I'm going to a meeting. I'm going to a meeting at Paramount, and when the meeting's over, I'm going to take away pages of Coming to America 2 because we're getting that.
That's great news.
I'm so excited.
That's tremendous news. Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, and you know, it was something that I don't know, Eddie loves the movie, and he never wanted to do a sequel. He never wanted to mess it up. He wanted to leave it like it is. It's his baby. And then one day, we're hanging out, and I said, you know, I'm doing stand-up, man, and I'm loving being out there. It's so cool to get to different cities and meet the people who've made you who you are. And he said, man, I was watching on the internet, and they dressed up a restaurant as McDowell's on Halloween.
Right,
and he said, I can't believe people still love that movie. And he went and took a meeting at Paramount and said, let's do a sequel. Let's do it. And I'm excited. They hired the guy who wrote Girls Trip, the movie for Queen Latifah and Tiffany Haddish and the girls. And he also is the guy who penned Blackish for ABC.
Wow.
Sitcom. So he's a really funny guy, and I'm happy with all the ideas I'm seeing. And I just wanted you to know,
that's fantastic.
If it wasn't for something that important, I would have flown in and Andrea Coffee this morning.
Oh, I'm here for you.
Always
absolutely
a friend of the show for years.
Hey, by the way, you know I started in Chicago, and I know a little bit more about Chicago than the average Clevelander.
Yep.
You did stand up at one time.
Still doing it, yeah.
And
it doesn't quite go with this show, you know, a little too early for that being too late, but we have a good time. 5 or 6 shows a year. What about other movies and TV stuff for you? You thinking about it?
Yeah, you know, I actually just finished working on something with Reverend Run, who's playing a retired rapper over at Netflix.
Run DMC.
Yeah, he's kind of approaching reality a little different. He had a reality show with his family. They're about to do a new spin on that. So I was over helping him out, and because they had never done scripted, they had always done reality, you know. So over there helping them, having some fun, doing a bunch of stuff, man. I'm having a really good time for OG.
By the way,
you're not an OG.
By the way, white people, OG, original gangster.
I thought it was old guy.
Well, no, you're talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, and I'll let you go on this, but that Prince interview, because, you know, I spent years in Minneapolis and knew him a little bit, but getting Prince to talk in more than 2-sentence chunks, that's a little bit of magic, because he loved you.
Yeah, he was a good friend, man. He was a funny guy, too. That's
why
I was trying to get out, getting to talk about cooking and all this stuff, because Prince is a normal guy, and watching Prince cook eggs is hilarious. And some of the stuff, the parties he used to have, he's a real cool guy. Prince actually sent me a suit one time. He said, I complimented him on his suit. And we were laughing because we were doing the MTV Awards, and that was the year he didn't have no butt in his pants, right?
Right, the buttless yellow chaps.
Yeah, exactly. So one day I get a black and white suit, and it's beautiful. It looks just like the ones his background dancers had on.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay attention. You know how sometimes you unzip the front and you look at the suit, and I'm like, this is cool. I put it in the closet. One day my housekeeper says, do you know there's no ass in that suit? And I said, excuse me? She took the suit totally out of the suit bag. There was no back. There was no ass. The collar was missing. It was the funniest suit
I've
ever seen in my life. And it was his get back at me for teasing him about his chaplain yellow pants.
All right, Cindy, I love you, man. We'll see you at Rosemont this weekend.
Thank y'all. See you soon.
Zanies.com at the Rosemont Zanies. It's a great room. One of the best comedy rooms in the country. And you can go to Zanies.com to get tickets for Arsenio. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow night. And a bottle of Altex that I thought dessert was only for special occasions. We weren't allowed dessert on a weekday. I thought it was Catholic. Apparently, it was just a weird Belleval family thing. My mom hated cooking, didn't want to think of dessert, too. My husband asked me for a slice of pie on a weekday. I'd be, no, it's Tuesday. We can't have dessert.
We only had ice cream on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Why was that?
I don't know.
Because you had 12 kids in your family, Wednesday, and who could afford ice cream?
Exactly. Those are the 2 days. It was weird.
Our family, this is Annabelle Wellstall, our family mixed mayonnaise, ketchup, and mustard. We made mayo chup tart.
Oh, yuck.
Tasty.
You got to do what you, as long as they didn't serve that for dessert.
Tasty goodness.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now you can dance, every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight.
6:54, big Mother's Day announcement in just a second. First, question from Twitter last night, which blowed up Twitter real good. What's something you did as a family, as a kid, that you never knew was nuts until you got a little bit older? 847, there were seven of us, so our parents had us line up by height with the youngest in the arms of the oldest. I'm not sure what that means. So I, second to youngest, was always at the back of the line. Mom said it was just so she could keep track of us. So she had all the kids hug each other?
Well, they lined up, but if the oldest was holding the youngest, this was the second youngest, so he or she was at the other end of the line.
So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Maybe for a picture or something?
No, I think in life.
Didn't the Von Trapp family do that?
They did. Sound of Music.
With the whistle.
One, two, three.
630, Mom serves spaghetti with ketchup on the side. I didn't know that wasn't spaghetti sauce until an Italian family moved in next door. John, you had one with your family. What were you telling me? You started to talk about it in the hallway. Something goofy your family did.
Not the bowl. You don't want that.
Oh, you were talking about the bowl thing. But that wasn't you. That was somebody else.
No, the thing we did was we would wake up Saturday morning, and it would take all of us, the three kids, about an hour to get downstairs to watch TV because we were so quiet. We thought we had to be absolutely stealth quiet. And then we went to...
Was that because your parents yelled at you? Or why?
I don't remember.
Quiet?
I don't remember. It would, every creak was like... And then we went to my... Like, slept over at my friend's house, and they just woke up.
Right.
And I'm like, guys...
That's so weird that you would just wake up and walk out there.
You can't do that.
And number to call, or number to text, I should say, is 312-981-7200. Mother's Day is coming up. When's Mother's Day? Did we determine that?
May 13th.
May 13th.
Of May.
You know, Sunday the 13th. Ooh, hope you're not superstitious. And musical director of the program, John DeCoste, is going to do something special for you for Mother's Day. Now, this started on Christmas. You're going to do this as a Christmas present for somebody. And then John forgot, and Sandberg said, Steve will never remember it. Let's not even bring it up. And then I said, okay, you guys have to make it up to me. Now you have to do it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And then John said, oh, I forgot. And then Mary said, Steve will never remember. Let's just pretend it never came up.
And then weren't you going to do it for St. Patrick's
Day? And then we were going to do it for St. Patrick's Day. And then John had knee surgery. And Sandberg said, Steve will never remember, and you're having knee surgery. So let's forget it ever happened. I'm not going to forget this time.
And me, neither will I. So
all right, here's a couple of samples of what John does on a holiday. Have you got Andrea's birthday song? Her birthday's not till August, but start shopping now. Roll it when you're ready.
You're a lion eye, Victor Andrew High, and just as hot as habanero burning in my eye. You're from Moreland Park, and I have to say, they should name a special day for you called Darla's Day. And you host that show with that guy named Lou, and the secret known by us and Housemart's camera crew. There's no need to lie, 'cause you know it's true. Without your Manfredini has no clue. Behind these station walls and through these station halls, it's you, it's true. The best, no duh. You make us smile, you make us laugh. You're Andrea.
Be a good sitcom
God,
thing.
It's so sweet.
That is beautiful.
I know, every time thing. You play it, John, it's just so nice.
Now, that was your birthday song.
It was my birthday song. Yeah.
Right. But it could be used as a ringtone.
Sure. Yes.
Texters 312-981-7200 for all things related to the show. But in this case, we're going to ask you to actually Facebook John.
Facebook me on my Facebook page, John DeCosse, DACOSSE. And I will sing this live.
Not that song. You're going to make a new one.
No, I'm going to make a new one. All they have to do is just Facebook me one sentence describing why I should write a song for their mom.
And then you'll get in touch with them and do a little bio interview to find out about mom.
And I'll sing it live on May 11th, Friday, May 11th.
Right, and their mom will be invited in.
Yeah.
That's going to be so nice.
Mom in the winter. So now, if you listeners could help me remember that we did this, that'd be great because Sandberg and John are conspiring against me. It's 6:58. Coming up after 7, Maria Pappas is coming on. It's a annual tax sale. Starts on May 4th. Deadline to pay delinquent taxes fast coming up. You need to get that done. And then we're going to spend some more time on this text question of the day. Something your family did that you thought was normal. Yeah, not so much. This is actually a nice one. Grew up in a house where we lived. I had parents who had medical issues. realized early on that none of us are granted tomorrow. I thought everybody lived that way. Good idea in the morning turned out to be an adventure in the afternoon. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had the most awesome experiences as a family. As an adult, maybe even as a teen, I found out that wasn't really so true for too many people. What's a nice story?
Yeah.
Nice story. Tight family, grew up tight, had a lot of fun together. That's good. Didn't happen to me.
No.
6:59. Ah, you gotta laugh. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, question. Text question. 312-9170-200. My family did this. I always thought it was normal. Turns out my family was wacky. That's from Twitter. And the response this morning has been great already. 708. Dishwasher was strictly for storage. Not dishes, just random stuff.
That's awesome.
My wife's family did the same thing.
Oh, is that right?
It was, they opened it up and it was canned goods. And I'm like, what? What are you doing?
Oh, we wash the dishes in the sink. 312. Today's millennials don't know what bologna is. We had it every day. Oh. I remember that.
Fried bologna.
Mm. Yeah, that's enough. That would kill a cat. Ugh. Fried bologna.
It's gross.
We didn't have fried bologna, but we did eat a lot of bologna.
You open that Oscar Mayer package. Yeah. And it'll be
See, you got the Oscar Mayer. I got the red one where you cut it and then
the
you
rind,
peel,
and
the,
peel the rind.
Peel the rind off.
Awful.
And the scent from bologna.
Oh, so good.
Let's see, 847, when I was a kid and taking a bath, my mom would tell me, don't let the water drain. Save it for the next person.
Oh, gross.
Thought every family did that. 847. All right, keep these coming. We'll get you a few more in a second. Maria Pappas joins us. It's tax sale time. Good morning, Ms. Pappas.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. You got anything about your family you'd like to deburden yourself with?
I grew up in a 40-seat restaurant across from the only hospital in Wheeling, West Virginia. And at 5 years old, I used to take deliveries to the intensive care unit. And we used to sell 10 hot dogs for a dollar, and that's what I remember.
At five?
Yeah. Yeah, are you kidding? Greeks work at five. Ask Andrea. You work at five.
Maria.
You get in the kitchen and you work.
Absolutely.
You carry the stuff across the street. You're told what to do. You do it. Nobody says you're in the intensive care unit because nobody cared.
Right.
In 19, you know, 40, whatever.
So at five, were people going, what are you slacking? Your four-year-old is doing, your four-year-old sister's doing.
Yeah, get busy. Get busy.
That's
go
funny.
Talk to the customers. Go make deliveries. Yeah, we were working.
Maria, I thought every family at Easter had a big lamb on a spit in their front yard, slow cooked over coals, and then when the neighbor started to look and mock, I thought, okay, I think we're the only family that does this.
And did you
every family sometimes too, depending on how big the clan gets.
Right.
Did you think everybody was Greek too until you found out they weren't?
Yeah, and then I thought we were the only ones who put plastic on their furniture until I went to my cousin's house.
It's an experience. I spent Easter in Greece this year, which I try and do, and I spent it at the cathedral in Athens. Oh. And from Friday night through Sunday, there were 17 priests and 50 cantors, and it was just breathtaking.
Oh,
it was breathtaking. It was packed to the hilt. It's quite an experience. I mean, no matter what your religion is, I mean, they tell people, go there and witness this. It's just breathtaking.
I'll bet.
But,
sounds like a wonderful trip.
But I came back too, and then I went 5 days. I went mountain climbing in the mountains of Greece. I called it the journey of me, God, and the goats. It was amazing. I didn't have to talk to anybody after that.
Wait! You didn't talk to the goats?
Election. I didn't have to talk to anybody after that horrendous election. I could just mountain hike.
Yeah, so I just thought maybe
now
you'd have a
I'm back, and the reality of being back is seriously this tax sale. So let me tell you what we've done because...
Well, like I could stop you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so everybody likes it when I'm on radio and TV because they can, like, drink coffee and relax. You don't have to ask me any questions. So Relax while I tell you what's happening. So everybody get out a pencil and paper and go to CookCountyTreasure.com. CookCountyTreasure.com. So in CookCountyTreasure.com, if you pull that up on your screen, if you don't have a computer, keep your pencil in your hand because in a minute I'm going to tell you what else you can do. But if you get to this computer, CookCountyTreasure.com, there is a huge purple box in the middle of that site. It's called Property Tax Overview. You punch the button, and miraculously appears everything you've ever paid and owed in the last couple of years. It will also tell you whether or not, which is why I'm on this morning, you are one of the 39,000 people countywide who owes money from 2016, payable in 2017, yet sold. We are talking about a property tax sale beginning May 4th. The problem with these 39,000 parcels of property countywide is that 16,000 of those 39,000 people, you ready, Cochran? Mail has come back to my office on 16,000 of these people.
What do you mean it's come back? You can't find them?
We can't find them. We don't know where they are. It keeps coming back. So it could be all kinds of scenarios. At the closing, we got the wrong address. At a refinancing, the address got confused. More likely than not, it's a senior citizen who's bedridden. It's like 13,000, 16,000 seniors who are either bedridden in a wheelchair. And this is what happens. The mailbox gets full. The mailman comes. He takes the mail. He returns it.
But that's 40% of the people you're trying to contact.
Right. So what we
that's
did
a big
was,
number.
Yeah, we came up with this website, which I call one-stop PAPA shopping. You go to it, CookCountyTreasure.com. You punch on the purple box. It will tell you if you owe. There's a little red button. If you owe, you can pay online.
Yeah.
Here's the news for your listeners. As of March 1st, 320,000 people paid online, and only 300,000 went to Chase. So we are moving toward everybody paying online. But also in this box, if you pull this up and realize that your billing address or your home address are wrong on this piece of property, you punch another button, you get a form, and you get to correct it. So, which means if you correct it, we might find you. Now, there's something else really interesting going on here.
Well, first let me compliment you on the website because the website's very clean. It looks great and it looks easy to use.
Well, here we have 126,000 seniors, we've been kind of talking about seniors here, countywide, who did not get their senior exemption. The reason is that every year you have to reapply for it. So we know that 126,000 people didn't get it, which means their bills are going to be higher than they should be. We're working with aldermen, all the electeds, to get them to go out, knock on doors, and help people get these exemptions filed. But this is what's interesting, okay? Here's the news. So of the 38,000 countywide properties up for sale, and 15,000 have returned mail, 17,000 owe under $1,000. And I just find that astonishing.
That's crazy.
Marie, this is
astonishing. The reason it's astonishing is if it gets sold for $1,000, by the time you redeem in 2.5 years, you might be paying $3,000 or $4,000.
Right.
But what's worse than that is, if you think about the fact that 17,000 people owe under $1,000, what's the likelihood that those people aren't these seniors who forgot to apply for their exemptions and may not owe anything?
It's a great
point. Here's the message. The message is, if you don't have a computer, get your pencil up again. You are going to dial 312-443-5100. 312-443-5100. It is the equivalent of calling American Express or your Visa to find out what's going on in your account. Except that when you call this number, which is my phone number, you will be prompted to put in a 14-digit number. That's your PIN, that's your PIN number. It's on the top of your bill or on your deed. You punch that 14-digit number in, and then in English, Spanish, or Polish, a voice will come from heaven and say, "Hello, you owe this much. You paid this much. You don't owe anything." And then you go to the exemption section, and it will tell you, you got an exemption, you didn't get an exemption. So there's really no excuse for somebody who doesn't have a computer. We now have this up in Spanish, Polish, and English, and you're going to say, why do you have it up in Polish? So let me tell you why. We had, since our website is translatable into 106 languages, we've had 162,000 people download in Polish. So
obviously it was worth the effort.
It was worth the effort. Yeah, we're trying to accommodate everyone here. So finally here, what you need to do is, listeners, go to CookCountyTreasurer.com, punch this little purple box, and check everything about your property to make sure that it's right. And two, if you have a mother, father, even if you're out of state, you should check in on them by going to this site. We have this site open. Anybody can go to it. It's public information. But checking on elders is really, really important. So that's my news, and that's what I have to say.
Well, very well done by you, as always. But, Andrea, last word from you.
It's the easiest site. One question, though. What if you can't find or don't have your PIN? Can you use your social, or it has to be the PIN?
You just, here, we've made it third grade proof. If you can't find your PIN when you get to this site, forget about it. Okay. Assume that you'll never find it. Just put your address in.
Okay.
We've made it.
Oh, that is good.
We've made it so simple that we know that, you know, Andre, really good question, because most people don't even know what a PIN is.
Right.
They know what their address is.
Yeah.
So we've made this so easy. It's just punch the button, put in your address, and then all this information flies up about your property, including whether or not you're owed a refund. You may have overpaid at some point over the last 20 years. That's up there, too.
And, you know, the obvious message here is avoid the tax sale. I mean, just get it done.
Avoid the tax sale, which is May 4th. I'll probably come back on before then, slice and dice this stuff.
You may still be on. Who would know? I'll just put you on hold. Keep talking.
But, you know, so we're concerned. I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not actually finger pointing at the post office, but, you know, on 1.8 million parcels, you're dealing with 16,000 pieces of chronically what we call the most vulnerable citizens
right.
in the county.
Right.
Their mail keeps coming back. So if you've got a senior and you're concerned about them, and even if you're out of state, we have a program. If you're out of state and you have an elderly parent here, that we will send you the bill. We will send you the bill. We have another program that if you go south for the winter and you don't have a computer, wherever it is that you're renting, and it's an early bird special, we send you the bill to Florida, Arizona,
that's
California.
That's a big deal. That's some considerable labor, and that's intensive customer service. But I've come to expect nothing else from your office. Listen,
well,
say hi to your goats, and we'll be happy to have you back on. We'll see you in the mountains.
Okay, see you in the mountains.
All right, thank you, Maria. Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. And again, she's shy, but if she ever comes out of her shell, she's going to be just fine.
So I got a text. She's making it so easy, even I want to call, and I don't even live in Cook County.
I'm telling you, the amount of work Cook County put in, the Treasurer's Office put into the website to fix this problem and to make it easy for everybody is pretty astounding.
Oh, my God. I just got to my bill.
Yeah.
And I owe nothing.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And there's a cool feature where you can forward the debt to Dave Innett.
Awesome.
So I don't think that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me.
728 in America's greatest city, downtown Chicago. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Steve Cochran, show number 1129. Going to get into the 50s today, into the 60s all next week. Ha! And you said spring would never show up. I say ha! Ha! Hey, here's a weird deal. We'll get back to these texts in just a second. So yesterday, it was not so weird, I suppose. I'm outside my house. That's not the weird part. And a car goes by and circles up and comes back in front of the house and goes, hey, you the original owner of this place? And I said, well, no, somebody lived here a couple of years before. And he went, Steve? And he gets out of the car. It's a neighbor that moved away 22 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Who was back in town on business who just wanted to see the old neighborhood.
That's cool, and he saw you.
Yeah, we were hanging out for a while, so it's good. We were talking about the neighbors that no longer live there. So, but listen to this. How's this for a freaky coincidence? Or, I don't know, coincidence, but it's just a weird deal. He's got a beautiful family, and the kids are grown and all that, like everybody's. But his kids, when they left Chicago, they moved to Connecticut, and his kids were in school in Newtown.
Oh, my gosh.
When they left Connecticut, they moved to Florida, and his kids were in school in Parkland.
No. Oh,
no way.
Really?
No.
Same elementary school, same high school, just years before. How
wow.
about that?
That is very, very
right?
coincidental.
That's when I told him to get off my property.
Yeah. Nice seeing you,
Bye. I said, hey, crazy witch, get going. So, hi, Marty. Great seeing you. It's coming up on 7:30. The texters continue to come in. We'll take phone calls on this, too, in a few minutes at 312-981-7200. Something your family did you thought was perfectly normal. Turns out your family was nuts. Dave, you haven't chimed in on this.
I really can't think of anything. I think
so pretty much everything?
Pretty much, as far as we know.
My mom let us have napkins. This is a 847. My mom let us have napkins, but only on Sunday. Didn't realize how strange that was until I met my husband, and he said, can I get a napkin?
It's Monday.
708. Right. My family swore all the time. Can you imagine going to your friend's house? Hey, where's the effing soda? Where's the pop? 630. Grandma came from Slovakia and mixed up Halloween and St. Nicholas Day. So each year we didn't want to hurt our feelings. And we put our shoes out for Good Witch every night before Halloween. Yeah, no, Grandma, this is the right way. Uh-huh. We didn't confuse it. No, it's all fine. 847. Before every car trip, my mother would throw holy water on all the kids saying, quote, make the sign of the cross, damn it, and pray for a safe trip. Praying, swearing, and a sprinkle seemed like it was normal for every family.
And then they put you in the car with no seatbelts.
There was that, right?
Right, right.
And how about this? Stuff those things down. Oh, I don't care if they hurt your butt. Stuff them down in there between the seats.
Yes.
Get
oh
rid
my
of them.
Gosh.
630. Once my brother and I figured out the Santa thing, all of our Christmas presents suddenly started to come from living and dead pets. It isn't really in Christmas until you've received a wrapped gift from the ghost of Eeyore the parakeet.
That's great.
Every family didn't do that. 731 headlines next. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Big story. It's bubbling under today. It's not bubbling under so much anymore. It's actually your big story. And that is that the James Comey memos were released. These are the Comey memos after he had the conversations with Trump that creeped him out. And I'm not quite sure why the Republican Party was so anxious to get these out, because they don't exactly paint the president in a positive light.
Mm-mm.
Among the revelations, Trump had serious reservations about Michael Flynn. And also that Trump very much tried to interfere with the Russian investigation. So that's the story that's out there all day today. Text question of the day comes from Twitter last night. Blowed up Twitter real good. You can call with this too at 312-981-7200. What's something your family did that you thought was normal, and then you found out it wasn't so normal? Okay, 312-981-7200. Phone calls or texts. 630. When I was a kid, we had a saying at the dinner table: get your feet off the table, Mabel. It wasn't until many years later I realized that most children didn't put their feet on the table, and that other families were more civilized. This is a sweet story from the 414. We left bourbon for Santa instead of milk.
Oh, no way.
I didn't realize that wasn't normal until I was a teenager. Probably didn't realize that your parents had a drinking issue as well, right? With bourbon for Santa? I guess you wouldn't have a drinking issue, though, if you were giving it away. But, you know, that's the thing. If you want a little bourbon late at night on Christmas Eve, because, and if you have kids near the radio now, I'd recommend you turn this down. But, you know, when you put the cookies and milk out, you got to, of course, sample the cookies and milk. So you put the bourbon out. Somebody's got to plow the bourbon. So when the kids get up in the morning, they say, oh, Santa had his little nip.
Well, if you have self-control, you don't have to sample the cookies.
Oh, you know what? I've got one for you. See if this sounds like anyone you know. Now, not in its entirety, but the end, okay?
Okay.
My family always kept butter on the counter so it would be soft and spreadable for toast in the morning. When I lived with my ex, he threw away a brand new container of butter I had set out overnight because he was scared of food and germs. It was a sore spot, and it still is.
Oh, I like that person part, hanging on to
which,
it.
Yeah, hanging on to a grudge.
Hanging
which part reminds you?
Grudge, yes.
Oh, I thought you meant because the butter was cluttering up the counter.
No.
We have a few of those in our house where, Pat puts the peanut butter in the refrigerator, and peanut butter is, there's nothing in peanut butter that needs to make it go in the refrigerator, and it makes it harder to work with.
Oh, much harder.
Not that we even eat a lot of peanut butter, but it bothers, I prefer a refrigerator with nothing in it. I like just a few beverages.
Wait,
I don't like 1,000 condiments.
You understand what the refrigerator's for.
I know. When I lived by myself, it was Pat referred to it as an MTV Cribs type refrigerator where there was nothing, and it's perfectly white and clean. And
it's like a food desert.
Yeah, I
basically.
Liked it. So Steve's, doing some work at his house, and I'm trying to say don't use anything.
Ever.
Ever.
Oh. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Stay out of the room.
Sandberg wanted to come over to the house. Sandberg wanted to come over to the house and set up theater ropes.
Yeah.
So people could just come in and see the kitchen, not actually use it.
Like,
so
tour it.
One thing also my family did, if we went out to dinner, the minute you came home, you have to take your clothes off that you went out to dinner in, and because you can't sit on the on the couch in, like, pants that you wore to the restaurant. Like, you need to be in.
But if you're going to take the time and effort to get dressed up, didn't you want to enjoy the rest of your dressed up time?
No, we never did. And so it's sometimes it takes me longer, and I do the same with Pat. And I also, with the kids, I will say we there's a joke when we get home from the restaurant, who's going to be ready first in our lounge, pajamas.
Lounge wear.
Yeah, because it'll take me longer to get ready than I actually wore the clothes to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get comfortable. I can't sit on a couch in jeans anyway, but I think it's because I was brought up that way, that you have to be in pajamas
right.
to get comfortable.
There is something about that because you're out and about and there's germs on your pants.
And you smell your
dress.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
I'd like the audience to start charting if Andrea ever disagrees with anything Sandberg says.
No, I'm just kind of learning that maybe that's the way to be instead of the way I have been.
708, we kept our pajamas. Listen to this. We kept our pajamas under our pillows.
Yep.
I thought everybody did that. My mom would say, put your PJs away. She meant under the pillow.
Yes.
It wasn't until I went to college when my roommate said, those go in a drawer.
Oh, my gosh. No. We did that, too.
So do we. But they've already been worn, so you can't be putting those near the clean clothes. Like,
do you wear – how long – and this might be a personal question. How long does everyone in your family wear their sleepwear? Like, do you sleep in the same pajamas every night, or do you change every single night?
A couple of days, I would say. Every two nights.
I don't wear pajamas.
Okay, do you wear
like
a t-shirt, though?
No, shorts and a t-shirt. Yeah.
Okay, but do you
gym shorts.
So do you change that every single day, or will you wear the same t-shirt tonight?
No.
Okay, yeah, I'm like that, too.
Yeah.
Every day I'll change it.
847, my dad bought troll dolls that he named after each member of the family. He lined them up on the TV stand in front of the actual family pictures. Yep. No, not every family did that.
Can I tell you something? My husband just said he was just putting the peanut butter into the refrigerator as I told that story because he's making it for Catherine right
now.
Sweet. So there's going to be cold peanut butter.
773, on the first day of spring, my grandma would take us out to the garden and look for the Thumbelina flower. She'd buy these little tiny little fairy dolls and plant a tulip and place the doll in the tulip so we could find it. Well, that's a sweet story. That's a nice story. Grandma being creative for the kiddos. 312, salad. My house, head of iceberg with a dollop of ranch on it. Wasn't until later. Look at this. When I grew up, the stuff in salads blew my mind. Holy cow, look at all this stuff you can put in salad. Roxanne's in Shorewood. What'd your goofy family do, Roxanne?
Oh, my gosh. The kids probably shouldn't be listening to this, but both of my parents worked, and so my grandparents had to babysit us every weekend for many years. So every Saturday morning, it was customary for us to have coffee tea, which was milk, sugar, and a little bit of coffee. But we had to have our cigarette with Grandma, so we used to use crayons as cigarettes.
Oh.
So it was coffee tea, and to be just like Grandma, you'd smoke a crayon.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
sweet.
Grandma had her coffee and her cigarette.
Yeah,
and
sweet.
Then, we would have our coffee and our cigarette.
Oh, sure. Sure. What a lovely, very sweet, sweet story. Thank you, Roxanne. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Elaine, good morning.
Hey. My family, there were eight children in the family, and we're all in our 60s and 70s now, but My dad made a manger, so to speak, although it was really a hose reel. There were X on each end, and then they laid straw and stuff in the middle, and the baby of the family got laid in there, and the rest of us kids, we knelt down on each side with our hands folded very sweetly and all in our little robes. I think the robes must have been a Christmas present that year because we all had them on.
So, so you had a live manger scene, and the baby was Jesus.
Yes, in our living room, and so we have pictures of that, and we laugh every time we see him.
Oh, that's a rolled up hose.
That's tremendous. Yeah. That is tremendous. 847, growing up, we used American white bread as our hot dog buns. We didn't know there were hot dog buns.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Oh, absolutely remember that.
Right? Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you fold over a slice of bread, put the hot dog in
there. Wonder bread.
I can remember my dad saying, we're not spending money on buns. Like, it's all the same.
Like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah,
it's just bread.
Bread is bread.
815, my dad would eat bologna and grape jelly sandwiches all the time. I thought every dad did.
Oh man.
That's awful.
Bologna and grape jelly.
Well, how do you even
there's
get
a lot
there?
Of things you can write off as, well, that was a Depression era thing. Uh-uh. Not this. Mm-mm. Not this. We got to draw the line somewhere.
I think a lot of these, too, are accidents, too. The bologna accidentally hits the jelly, and dad's like, no, I'll just go ahead and eat that anyway. And then he's like, wow, that tastes really good.
Oh,
I can see that happening.
I can't believe how many texts are coming in as you people unburden yourselves with your goofy families.
It's a confessional Friday.
This is good. 630, family dinner cuss out. Once a month, we could say whatever horrible words we wanted for 3 minutes on the dot.
Holy cow.
And then we couldn't curse for the rest of the month. I bet that was a fun dinner.
That's like that movie, The Purge.
That's a lot of time, 3 minutes.
It is a lot of time.
I couldn't even do 3 minutes.
I could. 847. I almost wish this person had called. 847. We didn't use the front door ever under any circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a mob family? Why would you not use the front door?
You know, my cousin's house was like that, too. Every family event, we would just go in like the back gate. I don't think we have ever... To the day they sold the house, used the front door.
We used to go on our side door because we didn't...
Because?
Well, you didn't want to track dirt or mud...
Ever?
Into the living room, which is where the front door was.
Yeah. Ever?
Well, not ever. There was a runner from the front door to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, the runners.
We had runners at our house, too.
Plastic
we couldn't even,
things.
Couldn't even go in our living room.
This is an abnormal
off a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is perfectly normal, though.
Listen,
Mom didn't want to clean it. That's why. Yeah.
Alice, Tim, hold on if you can. 312-981-7200. Text us your phone calls. We'll continue with the shenanigans.
On 720 WGN. If you believe
they put a man on the moon. Super Joe, been with the show how long? About a month now?
Couple months.
Month and a half? 2 months? There's nothing up this. I probably never told him I really hate REM, did I?
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah, I don't like REM. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. That appears to have broken. It's 7:56. Let me grab a couple of phone calls here. Alice is in Edison Park. A family confession from you, Alice.
Yes, I'm the youngest of 10, and I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. And I had a friend over after school in grade school, and we were going to get something to drink. So I was pouring milk out of a Tupperware container. And my friend was just mesmerized. What are you doing? I said, I'm just pouring you a glass of milk. And she said, milk comes out of a
milk carton?
Container. Right. And that was the first time that I ever realized that most people did not drink powdered milk, but that was the only thing I knew.
Sure. I remember powdered milk. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We had powdered milk. Ugh.
Alice, maybe the other people were weird. It wasn't you.
Yeah. It's okay, Alice.
Thank you for the phone call. Thanks for listening. Tim, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. First of all, this is hilarious because I could keep checking these things off of my family of eight. But mine is that we believed in Christmas and Santa Claus a lot longer than everybody else because Santa always was able to adjust his schedule to the work schedule for my dad who worked long shifts. So, you know, I'm 10, 11 years old. I'm still, hey, Santa Claus, you know, because he could figure this out for us. We could be gone for the evening at Grandma's house and come back, and there would be all the
Santa's fun. Santa's the best. Dad's not home till 9. He waits. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
That's fantastic. Tim, thank you. I appreciate you listening. Enjoy your weekend. Texters, 815, quick mouth kisses. Hi and goodbye, still to this day. Angelina Jolie and her brother a few years ago made me question this family practice, but hi and goodbye in a very normal household. This is where it gets a little weird for me, because I don't think this is a big deal. When Tom Brady, you know, gave his son a kiss, everybody on the internet went nuts. It was part of a reality show. You're not making out with your family. It's a peck. I don't see the big deal.
I know.
It's a big deal? Creep you out a little bit?
I don't think so.
Creep you out a little bit? Creep you out a little bit?
And the mouth, yes. Cheek, no.
Can you imagine if the Greeks had to kiss each other every time? You know how much time it would take to kiss everybody goodbye with your family?
A lot of chapstick.
Neek, 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 and neek.
That's my whole family. That goes on for hours.
Pat's on a phone in New Buffalo. Hi, Pat.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Great. You?
Oh, good. This is just so funny. I had lots of cousins, and growing up, now we're all in our 50s and 60s. Like most other kids, we would play school or we'd play church. But our family, we would play funeral. And one person would lay on the sofa in the living room. Somebody would go get some flowers.
Nice.
That person would hold the flowers. Somebody would walk by as the mourners and see who could crack up the person.
Oh, what a sweet story. Make the dead sit up and giggle.
I'm here to tell you.
Well, thank you, Pat, and so sorry for your loss. Tara's in Algonquin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me your story, Tara.
Okay, I know it's bizarre. My dad used to subscribe to Playboy magazine, and every month when the new magazine would come, my mom would place it on our coffee table in the family room, and it literally was like our coffee table book. It would just get switched out every month. And it honestly wasn't weird to us, because it was just, it always was like that. And in retrospect, I look back, even my friends, it was just, they never even thought it was weird either, because it was always at.
Oh, Tara, they thought it was weird. They just didn't tell you.
They're like, let's go to Tara's.
The parents of your friends thought it was weird. I can tell you that right now.
Probably. I'm sure. I know. Even to this day, if I say to my mom, like, wasn't that weird? She's like, well, no, because Dad used to enjoy it. I was like, yeah.
I'll bet he did. I'll bet Dad did. You see, Tara's got a line of junior high boys outside the house going, hey, can we just come in for a minute?
I know, right?
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's great.
Your parents are so cool.
815. These people may know Tara's family. My parents would always offer my teenage boyfriends Southern Comfort old fashions when they came over, as opposed to cookies.
Wow.
Why would you get the boyfriends drunk?
I don't know.
That seems like you're asking for trouble.
Yes.
Big time.
I don't know.
So unless it's like a graduate situation.
Da-da-da.
Hello.
Da-da-da. All right, I got a million of these. We'll get to them as we can. Special guest doing a little show business news for us coming up. Carly Steele from Entertainment Tonight. News next on 720 WGN.
Now this.
We just like to have a moment where you just there's a pause.
This is what we call dead air in the business.
Sorry, Joe, what was I doing here? This is turned off. Well, go ahead and turn that on. He's mocking me now with more R.E.M.
I like this song.
It's like you knew that I was going to play R.E.M., so you kept me.
How do you not R.E.M.?
No, that's weird. That broke again. So weird. It's just, what do you mean? There's REM and I don't like them. That's how I don't like them. It's 8:14. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Carly Steele from Entertainment Tonight. Nice enough to join us this morning. Good morning. How are you? So far, it's working out like a charm.
Carly. Oh, Carly.
No, this time it's actually turned on.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is.
Okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Okay, Carly, are you with me?
Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, Steve. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Carly.
You know how we had to fix the phone? Morning. We had a producer come out and rattle the phone and then hit it. So.
I just thought it was going to be a very silent segment, you know, like a quiet place.
Just hand signals?
Exactly. Smoke signals.
All right. I understand you've got big movie star news. What's going on with Rachel Weisz and Daniel Craig?
I do. They are expecting their first child together.
Wow.
This was a big announcement this morning. Rachel Weiss, she's 48. It will be her first child with Daniel, her second. She already has an 11-year-old son with ex-husband Darren Aronofsky, the director.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, also his second, he has a 25-year-old daughter, Ella, from a previous marriage. But yes, she announced it to the New York Times, and it's been big news.
48 is, you know, she's not a kid. Is she having the baby? Is there a surrogate involved, or do we not know that?
She has said she is having the baby, and they're very excited. I know it's taken a lot of people by surprise, but obviously very exciting news. I mean, you know that will be a beautiful child.
You think?
Baby Bond, if it's a boy.
Can you imagine the stunts that baby will be doing in the crib? There's no way to keep that baby in the crib.
It will be interesting to see if they follow in their parents' actor footsteps, for sure.
And Daniel Craig recently agreed to do another Bond for all the money in the world. I believe the movie studio said, how much do you need? How about all the money in the world?
Well, he was very clever. I mean, he said, you know, he wasn't going to do it. And he, I think, hardballed the studio and the Broccolis. Then, there were all these speculations about who would succeed him. But the last few Bond films have just done so well that they definitely felt like they should stick with their current Bond. And we're definitely waiting for that to go into production as well.
Yeah, and I suggested Jeff Garlin, and Jeff said, nah, I probably can't pull that off.
That would have been a good choice.
Right, am I right? Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Center, we continue with show business news. What's your question? Carrie Underwood?
I'm dying to know about
Carrie Underwood. Is that
Carrie
Underwood?
Yeah, Carrie Underwood, absolutely.
What do we know about Carrie Underwood?
This has been a source of a lot of speculation because, as you know, Carrie Underwood, she's been very mysterious about this injury. So she has given an interview for the first time. Of course, she skipped the ACM red carpet and didn't discuss it at the weekend. So she's given an interview for the first time explaining the details of what happened and where the injury was to Sirius XM, to Bobby Bones.
Okay.
And so she said that she was taking her dogs out walking and tripped, and she put her right wrist down and fell hard on it and in her mouth area. Bones said Bones is a host for iHeartRadio, not SiriusXM. And she injured her mouth area. He said he couldn't see any difference. I think he speaks for us all when, you know, after her appearance at the ACMs, none of us can see a difference. And fans have, you know, kind of said she was putting out this message that it would be a lot worse than it actually is. But she did reveal from pictures in the interview that she does have some scarring on her upper lip, but it's not very noticeable.
Well, and I know, Steve, you defended her because people after the award show said, but there's nothing wrong with your face. Why'd you say there's going to be something wrong with your face? And you're like, well, she's saying fine. What is the big deal? But she's the one that put out there, I got 40 or 50 stitches and I'm going to look very different. In November, she said that to everybody. So then the expectation was...
Shouldn't we be happy she doesn't, as opposed to where's the scar?
Right, but I guess we were probably... I'm a Carrie Underwood fan. I was kind of waiting for a, hey guys, it turns out I had amazing surgeons and you can barely tell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Something like a little... Just acknowledge it. Don't make us feel like we're weirdos for examining your face. I've blown up every photo. You know, like, this is like my...
So you turned this... Okay.
Yeah.
So. Everyone has, though. I mean, it definitely, she has been very, very mysterious, and then saying how emotional and difficult the performance was at the weekend when you can't see anything. I totally see your point with that. She did say she's been very lucky with the healing, and also that when her makeup isn't on, her son can, you know, he says he sees her boo-boo, but it definitely is very imperceptible. So she has been very lucky because, you know, 40 to 50 stitches is no joke. I'm amazed at how well it's healed. I don't think she needs to worry as much. I definitely think a mountain has been made out of a molehill a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And she probably did have great surgeons. I mean, that's about the only explanation. Anybody see the Scandal finale last night? Turns out the Trump presidency is still way weirder. way, way, way weirder.
without revealing any spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, it has received a lot of good response amongst the fans and the press. People do feel it's a good finale. You know, finales can be controversial. If they don't wrap up enough things, people get upset. If it takes too many left turns, people get upset.
Right.
If there aren't enough left turns, people get upset. So obviously it's a tricky thing, but people feel Shonda largely met those expectations. They're, you know, they had the big crazy character moments, and there was definitely a level of closure intended to satisfy fans. It didn't feel like they left anything on the battlefield.
One more.
You know, there was one, I don't know if you saw this, Carly. It got weird. Tribeca's going on now, the film festival, and they had a Scarface reunion with Michelle Pfeiffer and Al Pacino and Brian De Palma, and there was one part where they did a Q&A after, and Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, looks beautiful, and then you probably
agree beautiful.
Too, and Pacino looked great, and somebody asked Michelle Pfeiffer about her weight. And
But I think this was about the character. Yeah, it was about the character in Scarface, and I think everybody thought they were making some reference to her
right,
being heavy when she was a drugged out coke addict. Scarface, right? Am I reading that right, Carly?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer. I've interviewed her several times, and you know, don't mess. Like I love her. She is not afraid to speak her mind. Mm-hmm. She gives a very, you know, honest interview. You know, she doesn't like focusing too much on the beauty stuff. I think a lot of people ask her how she looks so amazing at this age, and it's not really her favorite thing to talk about.
Well, I don't know any woman that goes, you know, hey, let's talk about weight.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's a little rude.
Very rude. They're not asking, you know, Al Pacino.
Right.
Exactly, Carly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carly, what are you chasing today? What's the story that people are going to be talking about today?
Well, of course, more royal wedding details. It's become, you know, royal wedding tonight over at Entertainment Tonight.
There you
go. We got new wedding details that Meghan is going to be incorporating some American traditions into the royal wedding, and that Harry is deferring to her on plans for the big day. But it's very much her vision combined with a traditional royal wedding, and she has finally selected. I know you're going to be just so excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
She's finally chosen a hairdresser.
Thank God.
Nation breathes a sigh of relief and is consulting with her best friend and stylist, Jessica Mulroney, on how to best style the whole ensemble. So it seems like all the final details are being taken care of.
You know, Andrea is not available, Carly, and I was thinking of you for this project I'm pitching as well. It's sort of in the same vein. It's a bunch of guys go into a fancy shop. It's called Say Yes to the Tux. And, and they just bring out tuxes, and they all look the same. And after about 4 minutes, a guy goes, I guess that one. That's the whole show.
Until one comes out with, like, the crazy ruffles and powder.
Then it's 1978 all over again.
Yes, exactly. So. Like American Pie style Jason Biggs. Just go for it.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see someone attend the royal wedding in something crazy like that. I mean, who knows? Who knows what Meghan Markle's dad will wear? He could, you know, go bold.
It is a little controversial on the Meghan Markle side. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Carly, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You guys, too.
Carly Steele, Entertainment Tonight. Follow her all over social media as well. Hey, there's a version of Nothing Compares to You. Prince wrote Nothing Compares to You.
Mm-hmm.
And gave it to Sinead O'Connor, and she had a hit with it. I saw Prince do this live with about 30 people in the room back in the early 90s. And just crushed it, obviously.
Okay.
But anyway, the estate of Prince has released the original version. I want to see if it sounds the same. So we'll see if we can dig that up before 10 o'clock as well. We got to tell you about John DeCoste's Mother's Day Song Contest.
Yes.
Where he's going to line up mothers and force them to sing. What?
No,
that's not accurate. We'll see if we have time to play a little match game before 10. No promises. We're going to try it. But in the meantime, John, your Mother's Day Song Contest, you will write and perform an original Mother's Day song for one of our listeners. How do they enter?
All they have to do is contact me on my Facebook page, John DeCause, DACOSSE, and one sentence describing why I should write a song for their mom. But I'll do it live in studio on May 11th.
And customized for that, Mom.
Yes, customized. I will contact them and talk to them. It'll be fun.
Texters, the question of the day is, I thought my family was normal, then I realized they weren't. 847, weird family stuff. We were the only family apparently having bananas and sour cream as a treat.
treat.
That's funny.
You know, this is true. If you tell a kid, that this is special,
yeah.
At some point they just,
cool.
Oh, God, that's great. We got bananas and sour cream.
708, my mom's an organic gardener and would have a dump truck dump horse manure delivered from a local stable. The neighborhood kids and I would play on the hill before it was spread in the garden.
Oh,
we were always amazed by the big mushrooms that grew on the hill.
Oh,
dear.
So awful.
815, we weren't rich as a kid. As a matter of fact, my mom boosted us into the dumpster or rest stops to look for cans. Hey, we lived in Michigan. They were 10 cents a piece.
Oh, that's true.
That doesn't make it okay.
That's true.
To Costco, and I wish I'd thought of that with Christopher.
I'm heading to Michigan now.
815, there were three of us kids. We all shared a towel in the bathroom. Realized when I was in high school and had a sleepover, and my friend dried her face off on her shirt, that maybe this wasn't the way to go. We got married, and my spouse was totally ticked off that I was always using her towel instead of getting my own. I thought everybody shared. I'm a towel, one towel, and you're done thing situation.
Yeah.
Like, I won't even reuse a towel for a shower. Gee. You know, you're done.
We not even shared a towel. We shared a tub.
Well,
there were seven of us. Well, it was just
family,
pile them in.
Yeah, with a family your size, you had to put at least five kids in the tub at once.
We did have three at a time.
You only used a towel once? Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Me too.
I know.
One and done.
I guess
what?
I'm...
What? One and done?
Do you and Maureen have separate towels?
What a waste of water.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but then you're wiping all the dirt off time and time again.
You're clean. No, you're clean. You just got out of the shower. Yeah. What are you...
Or you just washed your face, or you just brushed your teeth. That's what the washer's
for. Do you not dry off all of you?
Yeah. Got to dry off everything.
You got to dry off everything, and then the next time, you don't know where you dried off everything.
Right.
You see where I'm going?
Everything is clean.
Oh, come on. What do you do? Get out and shake? Well, like a dog?
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
You don't want to
come on. You guys are ridiculous. Every 3 days is good enough.
So when you're in a hotel and they have that little card that says you hang the towel back
up. If you'd like to use the towel again, hang it up. Those racks are available in my room.
Exactly. Figured. I always throw that little tag away.
There'll be a pile of linen on the floor.
I'm like, oh, it's nice they offer. Toss the tag.
All right, more of these texts coming up. Strange things your family did that you didn't know were strange until you grew up, and then you found out they were wacky. 832, back with Adeline's next on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air, deep left, just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And Steve Stone standing by. By the way, Stoney, brought to you by Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse and the Chicago Sports Museum at Water Tower Place. Everything's a home run at Harry Carey's. I am unfolding my foldable schedule and I look and, look, tonight, Dave, I don't know if you're aware of this. Tonight, the Houston Astros, the world champs, are going to be at Guaranteed Rate Field.
I've heard that.
And Justin Verlander, or as I like to call him, Mr. Kate Upton, will be there as well as we go to one of the finest pitchers you're ever going to hear from, Steve Stone. How good is this Verlander, Steve Stone?
Well, I think he's just coming into his own, and this is, 40th year? But the most amazing thing is he has not made a concession to the aging process. You know, we marveled at Nolan Ryan. For just longevity and the fact that he remained a power pitcher his entire career. The difference really between the two is that for just about 20 years, Nolan Ryan was a 500 pitcher. Finally, he got the curve all over the plate and things started going well for him. And quite obviously, all those strikeouts and longevity was a remarkable story. But Justin Verlander has been a winning pitcher for a long time. And he learned something early that young kids can't really learn because there isn't a lot of finesse when you're a young pitcher just feeling your way. Verlander, who can throw 98, 99, or could, now he throws, 96, 97. But what he does is he'll throw 92, keep the 97 in his back pocket, and then use it when he needs it. It's pretty much like Bob Gibson used to do a little bit later in his career. He still had the big fastball. He just didn't have to show it to you every pitch. I think we're in an era of baseball. It's called maximum effort, full velocity with everything you have, not a whole lot of finesse. And so max effort means that eventually a lot of these hard throwers, if you're not Verlander or not Nolan Ryan, you're probably going to blow out instead of guys moving the ball in and out, using the big fastball when they have to. So it's a different era. It doesn't mean it's worse. It just means it's different.
Starting five across baseball, is he in your rotation?
Yes. He's my rotation because if I have to win a big game, I'd like Verlander to throw it. He's one of the guys that I love to have out there. Kershaw's obviously that guy also, but maybe in postseason play, not quite as dominant as he is at various times during the season, but who could be? There's a couple other guys. I mean, I like Scherzer. Good game. I like Max Scherzer going out there. He's sure. A pretty good one also. So, you know, you can make a five-man rotation. You can make five stars, and you can say to yourself, I feel real comfortable going out with these guys. The reality in baseball today is I did a study, by the way, on number five starting pitchers. I did it for 5 years from 2001 to 2005. At that point, the fifth starter averaged 6.4 wins a season, and they averaged 8.6 losses a season. Now, that might have gone up a little bit on both ends of the spectrum, but it shows you that, number one, fifth starters aren't all that good, and they're also skipped. And number two, fourth starters, for the most part, if you've got a good one, well, then I think things will go well for you. Houston happens to have five guys who can really pitch.
Right.
Nobody even mentions Charlie Morton. I mean, he's an afterthought. Charlie's 3-0. And you look at the Astros and you go, well, they got Garrett Cole. Wow, where is he slated? Well, he should be slated number four because McCullers has maybe as good a stuff as anybody on the team, but he keeps getting hurt a lot. Then you got Verlander, you got Keuchel. I mean, that's an embarrassment of riches, and I'm trying as I might to try to find a hole in that Houston lineup and that Houston pitching staff. Can't find too many.
It's going to be a great night tonight to be out there, Shields and Verlander. And we don't know if Kate Upton will be in the house, but if she will, that'll make it even better. And Verlander, Verlander's 35 years old. You know, that's not a kid in baseball terms. And, you know, the fact that he focuses with Kate Upton, you know, in the stands is pretty impressive.
By the way, he's 11-1 since being acquired by Houston at the end of August last year.
Not too
one
bad.
One loss in the postseason.
Not too bad.
But, Steve, the matchup was going to be Verlander and Shields.
Oh, Shields not pitching on it?
Well, here's the question. Would you expect him to pitch after he threw in relief the other day?
I think you ask him how he's feeling because, for the most part, you know, on a four-man rotation, that would have been the side day. So you'd have gone out there, you'd have thrown on the side on four-man rotation, which is the second day after you pitch, and then you'd go out there with a day's rest and go out and pitch. So normally you would say absolutely, but you have to ask James. You know, he's not a younger pitcher either. And if he's not feeling quite up to it, then, you know, you can pitch him tomorrow. It's not going to be any problem with that. He didn't throw that many pitches. He did, however, warm up, and people have to understand the warm-ups as opposed to just the pitches they threw in a game. Plus, he threw a lot of them under duress because, obviously, it was a tough inning that ended in a loss. But I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. I think it does depend on James. But with the three snowouts in a row, it gave all the pitchers a whole lot of rest and only three games in Oakland. So, you know, this isn't a taxed staff, although the Oakland's really piled it on in three straight games, so they used a whole lot of relievers out there. But, boys, we got a new player. Tyler Saladino has moved on to Milwaukee. Trace Thompson has moved back, and Trace is a wonderful guy. I know they were talking about him in Oakland and how much everybody loved him. They loved him in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. I think he's a great insurance policy. And understand something about these moves that, you know, don't make the headlines. If you make your team about 0.5% better with each and every one of these little moves, you find yourself a whole lot better team. And Tyler Saladino is very versatile. He was the emergency catcher. Terrific guy. Everybody certainly enjoyed having him around. Plus, his versatility was unmatched. But we have a Tyler Saladino with a little more speed, a little more power, a little more versatility. His name is Larry Garcia. So we have doubles of that position, so you might as well get a defensive outfielder you can put in the game, and you know that he's going to catch the ball. I mean, you know, with all due respect to Lurie, who is very versatile and plays a number of different positions and has a very strong arm, I feel a lot more confident with Trace Thompson in the outfield when you're looking late and you're looking for a defensive replacement. So it's not essential. It just makes a team about 0.5% better. And Rick Hahn has become a master at taking this little tinkering moves. Luis Avila, not a whole lot of people thought that that was a consequential move. Now, I know that he hasn't thrown as well as we would like, but he's a quality left-hander. Look at his numbers from the Dodgers. That was a little move that made the team a bit better. This is all the building process, and we'll see how it plays out.
Do you see Thompson as potentially more than, say, a late-inning defensive replacement in center?
Well, he can start in center field because you don't lose anything defensively, certainly. And, you know, it depends on just exactly how much time they want to give Adam Engel to work out his offensive difficulties. You know, he has great speed. He is an outstanding center fielder. So is Trace Thompson. He's an outstanding center fielder. I don't know, you know, who's going to hit and who's not. I don't think that you automatically say, Adam Engel, you sit down, you watch for a while. Because as a young player, he certainly needs the reps. And I think maybe if you sit him down, I'm not sure that's going to improve what he has at this point. But they'll give Adam a little more time yet because he did make some changes. And any time you do, don't be fooled by what happened in spring training. That spring training, guys didn't have the curve or slider yet. Now we're seeing what they can do to him. Now it's him and them, and he's got to make the adjustment. They've made the adjustment on him. He's not catching up with some higher fastballs up. Now he's got to make the adjustment on them. Now he worked the hand position. He worked the leg position. Right now it's not working. It doesn't mean it won't work a week from now.
Steve, it was a tremendously entertaining game on Wednesday in Oakland. It was 5 hours and 48 minutes of tremendous entertainment.
Yes.
What do you take from that game? What were the things that the White Sox can take with them as they go up against Houston tonight?
Well, wait a second. If you ask me what I took blisters on my butt. If you ask me what the White Sox took, they took the fact that they jumped out to an early lead and then gave it up, but battled back and gave it up again. So let's take a look at the end result and throw it out. Every one of these games, you take the end result and throw it out because it doesn't matter anymore. It's happened. And so you evaluate how you got to the point you got to and where the Sox are at this point of their rebuild. They are good enough to be competitive with a lot of these teams. But when I got to some of the better teams, notably Baltimore at the end, to a man, they came up to me with the same message. Said, you keep us close because we don't score early and we don't score often. That's not going to be the White Sox problem. They're going to score. But with the Orioles, they said, keep us close. And you're going to win more games than you ever thought you could win. And the reason is we take the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. That other team, regardless of who that other team is, they'll give the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. They're going to make one mistake, and then we're going to bury them with it. And when a team gets that attitude, now you've got yourself a team. So where the Sox are in the rebuild is, they can get to that point where late in the ballgame, they're in the game. And then the Sox make the mistake, and the other team buries them. That's where the team is right now. To expect anything more would be overly optimistic. It's not their time yet. It will be because Ricky and his staff are sinking the foundation for a winning ball club. So he's got them to the point where they can stay in games. But also, you guys have seen the defense. You've seen some of the base running. You've seen some of the relief pitching and the starting pitching. This team is a talented team, just not quite talented enough to get that team in a position to bury them. They let them back up. They let them back in. And eventually, the other team does them in. And that's how it works in baseball. You win in stages. You don't just win this year. You don't just win next year. But it's the building of last year to go with a building that will go forward. That's how you start to assemble a winning baseball team. And the Sox are in the process, and make no mistake, guys, it is a process. And by the way, Andrea, you're an iron woman. I can't believe it. I walk out every day. I hit the weather report. I'm walking my gerbil, and it's such a lovely morning. I know exactly it's 43, 44 degrees. I can't believe it. Thank you very much for just being you.
I love you, Steve.
All right, so here's
can we have a moment?
You and Steve? Yes, off the air, on the phone.
I'll text you, Steve.
Steve, a cliche or fact, you learn more as a young team from losses than you do from wins.
I think as a young team, and I think it's good. I think, Steve, that's a good observation. I think in life, it's not just baseball, I think you learn more from defeats than you do from victories. I think you learn more when you're going poorly than when you're going well. Because when you're going well, you have a tendency to ride with it. You're gonna carry the crest. You're gonna follow it up. The wave is going. Everything is good. You get a smile on your face. Your cheeseburger tastes a little bit better. That salad's pretty good. And so what happens when you're losing is you get introspective because you don't want to lose. These guys are not in the major leagues because they spent a lot of time losing in amateur baseball. They're in the major leagues because they dominated every level they've been at all the way up. They're used to winning. Suddenly they can't win anymore. Now, The more aware of them, the guys with the higher baseball acumen, they're going to figure out just exactly why it is they lost. And again, I keep talking about throwing out the end result because the end result doesn't matter anymore. Figure out how you got there, and you will learn something. Try not to repeat the mistakes. and try to continue to learn every day. When I finally figured it out, the intellectual aspect of competition, I told myself, I'm going to come to the park every day, and I'm going to get myself a half to 1% better today.
How about that?
I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but it will present itself to me, whether it's working on a technique on pickoffs, whether it's working on a new pitch in the bullpen, whether it's running a little bit harder, a little bit farther, a little bit faster, whether it might be talking to the shortstop. In the case of Baltimore, it's Mark Belanger. Tell me how you make the pivot. Tell me how, when you go to your right, how are you going to throw that ball across your body, and where are you going to throw it to the second baseman? That was something I might not have known before that day, but I made sure before I left that day that I picked up at least one or two things that I didn't know before. You make yourself infinitesimally better every day. You find out you get pretty good at what you're doing. And for a short period of time, I was real good at what I was doing. It was a product of knowledge, of seeking knowledge and making myself better every day. When you can do that as a team, when every member of your team feels the same way, now you got yourself something.
You know what? This is why when you listen to Steve Stone, you go, the guy knows more about baseball than anybody I've ever heard. Incredible. Because you spend the time. And by the way, Steve is the only big leaguer who ever put these words consecutively and correctly in a sentence. The intellectual aspect of competition. You're not getting that from just any major leaguer.
No, that's true.
Right now.
Fortunately, that's true, guys. Thank you.
All right, buddy. All the best. Thank you. It's Steve Stone, brought to you by Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse and Chicago Sports Museum at Water Tower Place. Everything's a home run at Harry Carey's. And it's time now for me to say the following, because it's time. Actually, do you want me to do this? Yeah, I should probably do this, right? Okay. We'll come back with the 9 o'clock hour, and in the 9 o'clock hour, National Autism Awareness Month. Joy Decker will be here to talk about what good things are going on in the fight for folks with autism and in finding research that will help fight autism. Wendy Snyder will be in a little early today as well to talk about the Bill and Wendy Show behind Bill and Wendy's back. Both of those coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Havana, na na. Half of my heart is in Havana, na na. He took me back to East Atlanta, na na na. All of my heart is in Havana. There's something about his manners. Havana, na.
Playing this because there's a wild story. I had never heard of this woman, Lisa Howard. Do you know who Lisa Howard is?
I know a Lisa
Howard. A legendary female journalist.
Yes.
Who was a soap opera star in the 50s, and in the late 50s and early 60s reinvented herself to be a reporter. She became the first woman to do a network newscast, and she was particularly fascinated by the Fidel Castro story.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up having an affair with Fidel Castro. And becomes the liaison between the American government and the Cuban government. Well, it's out now, and it's all over your internet. It's Lisa. You Google Fidel Castro, Lisa Howard. You can see the story today. And if we have time, we'll get into it before 10. If not, maybe on Monday. But a wild story. And I've never heard of the woman. The woman should be famous for good or bad reasons, right?
Absolutely, especially now.
So, National Autism Awareness Month is on. I think everybody who listens to the show with any regularity knows how proud I am of my daughter, Amy, who works every day with kids with autism, and a company called At Home Support, where she goes into the houses and she has one-on-one contact with the kids, goes through various therapies and things, and she manages a bunch of other therapists who do the same. And it's amazing work. It's amazing work. It takes a tremendous amount of patience. But the wins are huge wins. They seem like little to the rest of us, but they're huge. And during National Autism Awareness Month, we want everybody to understand that there's so much more to these kids, these families, than you know. And you need to open your eyes and ears to it. Executive Director Joy Decker is here from Esperanza Community Services. Been serving kids and adults with developmental disabilities forever. So you're doing God's work, too, and good for you.
Yes, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having us
today.
Nice
to see you. What's a little background on Esperanza? 50 years ago, started by whom?
We were started about 50 years ago with a mother who had a son with disabilities. Guadalupe Reyes was the founder. And I think, you know, like most families, she was a pioneer. It was a time where her son wasn't receiving services that he needed and started a school in Pilsen.
Yeah, 1968, yep. Even in a city like Chicago, there wasn't any special consideration for special needs kids.
Yep.
The term special needs didn't exist.
Exactly. And, you know, he saw his siblings was going to school, and, you know, Guadalupe really just was a pioneer and a trailblazer.
My brother, I have a special needs older brother, mm-hmm. and we grew up in a small town in upstate New York where there was nothing. And, yep. the kids, the special needs kids were all grouped in one room. It was one room with the kids who were severely disabled, yep. with the kids who were mildly impaired, and therefore it was just like a holding cell. Nobody really got any sort of education or specific needs met. We're much better at that now, aren't
we? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and now kids and adults with autism and developmental disabilities are, you know, being able to do a lot of things, and that's what autism awareness is about. You know, celebrating folks, getting to know kids with autism, and just, again, raising that awareness.
Remember the study I talked about last week that it's fairly recent, but people think when a child with autism won't look at you in the eyes, it's because of that stereotype vision that we have that mm-hmm. autistic kids are just yep. wrapped up in their own world. What we now know medically is that kids are overstimulated, and the overstimulus is actually physically and emotionally painful. Yep. To these kids, that's why they don't make eye contact.
Yep, exactly. And a lot of what we do at Esperanza, probably very similar to your daughter Amy in terms of different therapies, you know, helping those kids be able to learn in the classrooms. We have Esperanza School, adult services, being able to help them communicate, you know, and that social interaction, because sure. a lot of that stimulus is sometimes just too much. And then, you know, for learning and students, how can we help them focus? How can we help them, you know, minimize some of those interfering behaviors that happen?
Well, the goal is like with every other kid. You just want a kid to be able to maximize
Absolutely.
Their lives, right?
Absolutely.
How does the internet, smartphones, computers, technology today, how does that help? How do you use those tools to help?
Technology is wonderful. We have in our school, I think about a year ago, we received a grant. So now we have a smart board in each of our classrooms. And it is amazing. I mean,
explain what that is.
Big whiteboard where we can use the internet, project things. It's a touchboard as well.
Okay.
So the students who maybe, you know, maybe they can't read, maybe they're more visual, you can write. So it really is able to work with a lot of different learning styles and really works for kids with autism.
And do we know why kids with autism are so technologically adept in a lot of cases?
Mm-hmm. I think
but there's no real scientific answer to that,
right,
I suppose, right?
Right, yeah, you know, because I think it's really each kid is a little different.
Okay.
And I think it's just a lot of that might be some of the visual, and they can focus on you know, kind of certain things as opposed to having a lot of different stimulus going around. But, you know,
How'd you get in this business?
I have been actually in the nonprofit space for about 25 years, working with agencies autism and developmental disabilities. So,
and we did the story.
You're a better person than the rest.
Yeah,
of us.
Yeah, exactly. We did the story earlier this week. This kind of goes along with your question too, Steve, about stimulus and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But the autistic student who loved to play with Legos mm-hmm. and built this ginormous, beautiful. Now I think it's in a museum, model of the Titanic.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's like once you have the tools yep. and you kind of focus yep. in on the need, is that correct? And then, mm-hmm. then they grow.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, a lot of kids, they need to be, they can focus and stay, you know, one thing that they excel at. And I think it's really amazing that, you know, you can see that.
And encouraging that is key, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Esperanza Community Services funded how?
We are funded a couple ways. The state of Illinois, primarily, both through the school, because we have Esperanza School, and then our adult services, so Department of Human Services, and then Illinois State Board of Ed.
How's the state doing with paying that bill?
You know, Esperanza, I'm going to be honest, we've had our challenges over the last couple of years. I think, you know, the biggest thing I want to encourage folks is to, you know, reach out and support organizations. And it could be a lot of ways, you know, volunteering, coming out to visit. We've got our fundraiser coming up next week. So just donating time and resources would be wonderful.
You know, Patty Voska has been very open
yes.
about,
oh, yeah.
about
mm-hmm.
her situation, obviously. Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned from Patty through the years, and she's talked about it, is, and you don't want to mess with Patty,
yeah.
In case anyone's not clear on that.
Right.
But for folks who aren't so confident, I suppose is the word, it can be painful for families yeah. the way other families treat you or don't treat you or
exactly.
ignore you. So what do you tell folks who, you know, they want to do the right thing, but they don't know what to say or what to do around folks that have kids with special needs?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just trying to break down the get to know folks. You know, we're the kids and the adults, we're people. Right. They're people, you know? And I think a lot of that is just trying to overcome the unknown, because maybe they don't know. So again, get to know families, talk with them, come visit Esperanza.
It's a great idea.
You know, come see what we do.
Great idea.
And speaking of visiting too, you were talking, I know we're going to talk about the fundraiser too and the gala coming up, but you always welcome donations when it comes to art supplies and paintbrushes and things of that sort, easels.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I mentioned we have a school, so school supplies, you know, anything from glue sticks to we use a lot of duct tape, we use a lot of Velcro for our kids.
Art supplies.
And, you know, anything like that. And then we have residential homes. So any gently used furniture, clothing, you know, household needs.
How do we organize that? I mean, we'll just go to your website and contact you?
You can come to our website. We've got contact information there. You know, we'd be happy to work with folks. Come out, pick up the donations. You can come drop it off at the school. A lot of ways. We can make it happen for you.
School supply list. That's a big deal. And it's Joy Decker, Executive Director of Esperanza. And during this National Autism Awareness Month, what's one more thing you want us to know?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, again, just get to know folks, come out, visit, and, you know, spread the word about autism. Yeah. You know, you talked about it's not only the kids, but it's families that we want to support as well.
That's the thing, you know, when you see somebody with a child or somebody in their family with special needs, just talk to them.
Exactly.
Just treat them like everybody else.
And that's really the message. You know, they're people before their disability. You know?
You know, you don't need to walk up going, oh, it really must be difficult what you're going through. Oh. Just have a conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. They're parents just like any other parent.
Yeah. Because, you know, then you have to be Patty. You have to look at them and go, I can't imagine what a pain in the ass your kid is.
Patty is a force.
Patty does, and her videos, if you have not seen her videos of her son, they're so cool. She stands, she goes behind him and follows him and just makes different videos either on the bike path or at the nature preserve or, or in front of the coconut.
Lets him go where he's going.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, Patty's because amazing. Declan's driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Nice to meet you. And thank you for the work you're doing.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
All right, and best. Text question of the day continues. I thought it was normal, and then I found out it wasn't. My family's weird. 847, Irish mom, potatoes every dinner. You think it's a cliche? It's not. Pizza, pasta, whatever. We always had potatoes. Oh. 847, all of us called my sister Colleen Kelly. I thought that was the normal short version of the name Colleen. Till I dated Kelly and met her sister, Colleen.
Wait, what?
I-47, my mom washed dishes by hand and then put them in the dishwasher to dry, even though the dishwasher worked just fine. When I moved away, I never didn't use a dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
Sister 18 months apart with me, as the I was the oldest of four. The sister was the oldest of four, had to pack lunches for the family every night. When it was her turn to make the sandwiches, including bologna, she took a bite out of each sandwich that she made for the sibs. So he knew it was her to make the sandwich. No refrigerator in the 70s Catholic school. Nice warm cheese, bologna and mustard, and a bite out of the sandwich.
Isn't bologna a recurring theme in this?
It really is.
It was cheap.
I mean, I was always thinking about that when you put your sandwich in the locker at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You don't eat till
85
noon.
85 degrees in the locker.
Oh, and we thought nothing of it.
Never.
And as the texter says, bacteria.
Oh,
that's the 214-815. We knew Santa was not, again, turn your radio down if you're with little kids. Okay. We knew Santa wasn't the real deal when we were really young. Santa always wrapped our gifts in lilac wrapping paper that had black palm trees on it.
Maybe it was Tropical Santa.
Texter says, Mom must have scored a deal on a huge roll at Big Lots in the 80s.
Right.
847, Sunday night was bath night. My brother took his bath during the first half of Dragnet. My sister and I had ours during the second half. Same bath water.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
But Dragnet wasn't on Sunday nights, was it?
That's what you got out of that story?
Wow.
Drag who?
No,
I'm kidding.
And this one from the 630. I thought my family was nuts. Then I went I met my wife's family. Turned out I was wrong. So there you go. Texters, keep them coming. 630-981-7200. Headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess.
Ah, the memories.
You've been a messin'.
Well, you shouldn't have been a messin'.
What year was this, any idea?
And now someone else is getting all your best.
You know why we're playing this, right?
These boots are
made. Someone's favorite karaoke song.
It's not karaoke. I don't do karaoke.
Oh, okay. Someone's real life legit song.
Yeah.
I sang
1967.
I think that's about right, because I was just going to say, here's a sweet memory from my childhood. I was at a place called the Doghouse of Go-Go.
What? Hot dogs and go-go dancers?
Go-go dancers. And it was called the Doghouse of Go-Go because it was next to the ASPCA. And it was one of the places my parents liked to take the kids.
And again, this something that was very normal, you thought.
Totally normal. Totally normal. Everybody did it. Wendy, the tech. And hi, Wendy. How are you?
Good morning, all.
The text question of the day today is things you thought were normal and found out your family was completely whacked. 309, as a kid, we put applesauce in our chili. Mom said it would cool it down. That way we could eat it right away.
There you go.
847, Mom used to make us wash the tin foil so we could reuse it.
Wow.
I know families that did that. My mother-in-law still does that.
Really?
847, our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were also buttered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to get them to slide down that way, right?
Apparently.
773, my parents had beautiful oak floors, sanded and stained them, then proceeded to cover them with shag carpeting. Ah, the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's but
that's
they're there.
Fantastic.
Just pull
fantastic.
Up the shag.
Anything your family did that you found out later was weird?
Yeah, you know, I used to go to the Campix house after school and have a snack after we'd play. They're doing pretty well, Campix.
Yeah.
And they would give good stuff like ice cream or cookies.
Oh, seriously?
My dad was a diabetic. We didn't have any sweets in the house, so I wrapped up an ice cube in a napkin because I like chewing on ice. And I said, here's a snack. And they looked at me like, really? I said, well, yeah. Doesn't everybody chew on ice cubes?
You thought ice cubes were a snack.
Isn't that sad?
Oh, that's
ice
sweet.
Wrapped in a napkin.
Yeah,
that's
I did wrap
sweet.
And it stuck to the. It was really pathetic now that I think about it.
It wasn't even so flavored.
No.
You couldn't even.
And you think you're doing something nice for your friends.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Bill and Wendy show at 10 o'clock. It's a good time for you to come out and know what you really think about Bill.
I love Bill.
pause.
No, of course you do. You guys have been doing the show together now since when? If you go all the way back to Q101 days. Oh, no, it was a loop,
no,
right?
No, the loop at night. Probably 1996-ish.
Wow. Yeah, that's when
maybe
I was
95.
Did you guys follow me at night? I did nights on the loop in 96.
We did overnights.
Oh, there was somebody in between you and me. Who did you follow?
Well, we kind of, we did overnights for a while, and then
we did
evenings.
6 to 10 or 7 to 10. You guys were on overnights?
Yeah, we followed Danny Bonaducci for a while.
Well, Danny and I flipped. I did afternoons, and Danny did nights.
Okay, and then we followed
Danny. Because they wanted
Danny
away from business people.
That's what it was. That's when we did it then.
Yeah,
because we followed Danny and then
clients.
We got pushed to overnights and followed Liz Wilde.
Oh, Liz Wilde, that's
yeah.
right.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Zap, zap, a tow.
Yeah.
And when were you with Q101?
96. So 95 at the loop is when we were put together, Bill and I. And then we went to Morning
Zoo. So you guys
Q101.
Were in a kit?
Yes.
Here's the, this is
like
a true
sea
story.
Monkeys.
Okay. Did you order your Bill and Wendy?
There's a company called Emmis. Emmis owned it then, right?
Yes.
There's a guy named Jeff Smolian.
Yes.
It was a big deal in television as well, and MTV, and a company called Emmis. And Emmis owned Q101. And the 90s, giant radio companies were bought and sold about every 15 minutes. Congratulations, Jimmy. you, Bill and Wendy, were Bill and Wendy, frankly, long before there was Eric and Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
And if Bill and Wendy had gotten the same support that Eric and Kathy had gotten, they would be not. She would be sitting here talking to us.
Oh yeah.
Well, Wendy would
be
out of
counting
a job.
Her money.
It was Wendy and Bill? I listened to you guys in Q101.
Yeah, this would be the point where you left.
Yeah,
I guess
right.
in the relationship.
Is what I was saying.
This would be the point where
yeah.
you demanded
was
more money
point.
And you left.
That's my.
And that's not. Listen, honestly, that's not a knock on Eric
I
and Kathy.
My money.
That's, but that's a fact.
That yeah.
You guys were the deal and typical.
No support. We didn't even have a T-shirt.
Right.
We didn't.
A bumper. How about a bumper sticker?
No.
Remember those? Come on, those were big back in the day.
I'm serious. Everybody had, and you know, when we
everybody
were
at, loved the show, nobody supported it.
No one. And at the Loop, when we were at like evenings and overnights, we had bus boards. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they would mm-hmm. promote it, but Q101 did not like us. We didn't fit in very well.
Jimmy DeCastro and Larry Wirt were very good about promoting the old Loop days. They promoted the receptionist. The receptionist had a billboard. Everybody had promotion.
Jerry Wells.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry Wells. Oh. Remember those Jerry Wells billboards?
She was the real
best
boss
ever. All right, 9:48. We're going to play Match Game. You going to play Match Game with us?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
A live yeah. Match Game coming up in just a second. Plus, any last text from, I thought my family was normal, but 312-981-7200. Dave's still claiming his family was normal. We know that's a complete nonsense.
No, really. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't. I don't. We don't have any of these things.
Steve, anything in your family you want to confess, Steve Bertrand?
Not on the air, no.
Oh, all right then. But if you take a trip with Steve to Bolivia, he'll be happy to tell you about it, one of his jungle
Steve
cruises.
Steve Bertrand travel.
Usually just after midnight, the stories start.
Well, John's got his big mic out.
Nice.
The reason Wendy came in early. John and his big mic. Listen, here's the deal. Two callers are going to play, and all the celebrities will answer. 312-981-7200, the number. While we get, we got Mike, but while we get another caller on the phone here, I still have a couple more of these wacky family stories to tell you. And thanks to everybody who texted this morning. Couldn't get to all of them. But
just tons of them. It was great.
Yeah. 847, my mom made broccoli, the frozen spears, and always put a blob of mayonnaise on it. Oh. I was 19 before I found out you didn't have to have mayonnaise with broccoli.
Oh, man, I just...
773, in all caps, which means they're still bitter. Dad made us wash our hands with borax soap before dinner. Do you remember borax?
I do.
Borax was essentially gravel.
Oh. Yeah, it was 20 mule team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be just like taking gravel and rubbing your hands together.
Do you remember
hard.
Lava soap?
I was just going to say that was a...
Lava was the four seasons of soap compared to borax.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because lava hurt.
Battery,
especially when you got it in your mouth for swearing.
Oh, yeah. I got one.
No, who was the spokesman for borax? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Borat.
Borat for borax? That would make sense.
Ronald Reagan.
Is that right?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I just know at one point battery acid called and said, keep us out of this, Borax. 312, we had 20 to 30 boxes of all types of cereal in the house at all times, but only three could be opened at any time, two healthy and one sugar. We fought about it left and right. And when one box was finished, we could open the others. Until we work through the other 17.
Oh, like early Costco.
It's like a game show. It was a cereal game show at the house.
They got soggy otherwise. Yeah.
But there was no expiration date on the boxes back then.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
847, I never realized until I was in junior high there were differences between paper towels and napkins. I thought all napkins came in rolls.
And all silverware was plastic.
And 815, I never knew that all dads didn't drink beer for breakfast. It's another sweet story.
Happy.
Sweet story. Could be my brother. Let's go to the phone now and meet our contestants. First, it's Mike on the northwest side. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Great. Now, you know the drill here, buddy. You're going to play Match Game. Don't give your answer up until the celebrities say they've given theirs and they're locked in. John, what's the question?
Good morning, Mike. You know how to play the game, correct? Yes? Here we go.
You bet.
Good. Mary Sandberg's family wouldn't eat dinner until they were all in their PJs. Joe Romano's family was the same way, but they had to wear blank. I'll read it again. Mary Sandberg's family wouldn't eat dinner until they were in their PJs. Joe Romano's family was the same way, but they had to wear blank. Let me wait. We'll wait for his answer.
Right,
hang
good.
On. I got
I'm
everybody.
Good.
Let me know if everybody's in. All our celebrities in.
Seth.
Everybody in? Yes.
Locked in?
Yep. Yes, locked
yep.
in.
Locked
here
in.
We go.
Yep.
Mike, what's your answer?
This is difficult.
This is difficult doesn't fit. I'm going to be honest with you. Go ahead.
Tuxedo.
Ah, yeah, well, that's Joe.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Mike, no, hold on, that's hold on, Mike. Hold on. You could win. Not, I mean, not this game. But you could win.
Dave Ennett.
Football helmets.
Oh, very good. Yes, very good.
Because he's a sports guy?
Yeah.
Well, I just think football helmets.
It's the worst answer you've ever given in a match game.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, worse. I've given worse.
I've heard Andrea. Worse.
Andrea?
Mine's
Andrea?
Really bad. Just for no rhyme or reason, I couldn't think of anything, so I said onesies.
It's actually not bad. This is,
okay. No, it's not very good.
Is, thanks, Steve. Yes. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, Joe.
Steve.
Let's see. I'm going to say socks.
Okay. Well, that's
you're
good.
Looking at me like it's a right or wrong. Socks. No, socks. Okay, yes.
Why is that good? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes.
I don't. This was a hard one.
Yes, I know. It's too vague. Yes.
Wendy?
Underpants.
Underpants? Underpants. Okay.
It's kind of like a onesie.
Uniforms.
Uniforms.
Joe, because you're Italian, I said boxer shorts and a tank top.
Oh, that's good.
That's a cliche, right?
Hey.
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 Hey. Yo. Hey.
Hey. Hey, yo.
But what do you call him?
Super Joe. So what did
I
you
said
say?
Superman t-shirts.
Yes.
There you go.
Very good. Mary, very good. Very
thank
proud
you
of you.
I don't think anybody said tuxedo.
No, but that's
sorry,
okay, Mike. Don't
but
worry
Mike,
about it.
Mike, you're still
okay
a winner. Hold on, Mike, because Pat, you need one to win. What's the question for Pat?
This, here we go, Pat. Dave Ennett has a problem with birds flying into his window.
True.
Andrea lives near Greektown, and every day blank hits her window.
Oh, I got this.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
Super.
Dave Ennett has a problem with birds flying into his windows. Andrea lives near Greektown, and every day blank hits her window.
I'm done.
Am I that easy?
I don't get it.
I know. This is wrong. Everybody in? Is everybody in?
Everybody yes locked.
Okay, yep. Pat, what is your answer?
Pigeon poop.
Pigeon poop. Poop.
You did hear Greektown, right, buddy?
Jeez.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Pat. Hey, Mike, I like your chances for a tie. All right, Dave.
Saganaki.
Saganaki.
Very good.
Yeah. Saganaki, okay. Flaming cheese.
The flaming cheese, because yes. I couldn't think of what the word was for Saganaki.
Spell it.
Saganaki.
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 Right. I said goat cheese. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yes.
Only
cheese?
If it's on
yeah
fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good call.
Joe Romano?
Lamb head on a spit.
That's good, too.
Oh, my God.
That's good, too.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
They're throwing
good
lamb
head.
Head upstairs?
Wait, they're throwing spits of lamb head at your window?
It's okay, Steve. We're green.
Those are strong windows.
We welcome Vanderbilt everyone.
I said feta.
That's good,
feta.
Fried cheese, yeah.
The answer is tzatziki.
I almost said that, but I didn't know how to spell it.
Steve, look at your pronunciation. Woo. That's good.
All right, so Mike and Pat.
I got to be honest, I did not think we would get a tie off of that.
Mike and Pat tied at zero.
I am shocked.
Here's what we're going to do for Mike and Pat. Both of them get Lou Malnati's Pizza, loumalnati's.com, and an app gift card at abt.com. 00, just the way we like it. Bill and Wendy next. Bill and Wendy, here's probably a coincidence, but Bill was just telling me that Russian hookers are the most beautiful.
By far.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So good for you.
Latvian are probably considered to be the most beautiful.
They are definitely the most Latvian.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, I mean, you could test that.
Yes.
What
yes
are you doing today?
Did you know that there's a whole subculture of people out there, Steve, who do not like the band R.E.M.? We're going to talk to some of them.
And then we'll have Michael Stipe on.
Michael Stipe is coming
on. If you believe there's a man on the moon. God, get out of the business.
Has it always been that way from day one?
Nuts.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan called, said hit a note.
Ouch.
But then people ask, like, when you yeah tell them that, they can't, they go, well,
don't you have a band? I mean, don't you have a band that other people like that you go, can't take it?
Well,
Maroon 5.
Wendy's like that with Maroon 5.
Who's the one that puts me to sleep? Used to be married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, that's Coldplay.
Yeah,
that's Chris Martin
too
from Coldplay.
I don't like Coldplay.
Wendy doesn't
either
like Coldplay.
Yeah. I don't get that.
But we talked about this yesterday. Kevin Hart, for me, is the guy. Like, everybody goes, boy, you know who's funny is that Kevin Hart. And I go, how am I missing
yeah
this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hannibal Buress, your turn.
I love Hannibal Buress.
I don't love him.
Yeah, good for you.
He's not funny.
Hannibal Buress is the R.E.M. of music or of comedy wow for me. All right, I got to go. See you on Monday.